Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, make sure you check out Five Reasons YouTube as we speak. Post Up 5R is going strong. That's after every Heat game, before Floor, an hour before every Heat game, plus plenty of content on the channel all the time. We have our F1 show, Hitting the Apex, was on tonight, as well as Six Rings Canes. You only know about this stuff if you are subscribed. So make sure you subscribe to Five Reasons YouTube, and also check out fivereasonsports.com. Make sure you spell that one out. The latest takeaways from Brady Hawk are already up. Also check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We have so many of them that are local here in South Florida. One of them, our friends over at U-Brake Wheel Fix, the wheel repair, refinish, and custom wheel specialist. They offer the big three of all your car wheel needs with over 20 years of experience. U-Brake Wheel Fix repairs damaged wheels from curb rash, cracks, or bends, all under one roof with in-house powder coating, CNC machining, and polishing. They also offer the custom wheels. You want the new custom wheels and tires from your favorite brands like Vossen and Fuel Off-Road? They have them, and they offer no credit check financing up to $5,000 for a new set of wheels. Fast turnaround times on all repairs, and they even provide the loaner wheels in many cases. So check them out. U-Brake Wheel Fix. They're off of Biscayne and Northeast 146th Street. That's kind of in the Miami Shores area in North Miami. Or check them out on Instagram. Okay. U-Brake. That's U, the letter U, Brake Wheel Fix, or ubrakewheelfix.com, or reach out by phone 305-748-0112. 305-748-0112. Tell Mark and everybody else that Five Reasons sent you, and you will get a discount. U-Brake Wheel Fix, changing the way that you see wheels. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. We got the full crew here tonight. Brady Hawk, you can follow at BradyHawk305, Greg Sylvander at Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo at Tropical Blanket. The Miami Heat with what, in my view, was their most impressive win of the season. They go up to Boston against a team that has been the hottest team in the Eastern Conference for about 3 months now, almost 3 months. They go up, they beat the Celtics, they hold on to the number one seed. But here's why it was significant to me, guys. They didn't get the best of everybody tonight. They got enough from everybody tonight, and they overcame a bunch of turnovers, a lot of mistakes on offense, Dwayne Dedmon moving screens, a 16-0 Boston run to me, okay? And the title of Alonzo Mourning's book is Resilience. That's what this organization has always been about, whether it's Dwayne Wade or overcoming the loss of Chris Bosh or anything that you look at throughout the years, it's about resilience. This was not a resilient team a week ago. It was tonight. That's the big difference for me. We can talk about the schematics. We're going to get into it. Max Strus playing down the stretch, Jimmy Butler playing at the four, sticking with Strus in the starting lineup, bringing in Hero for Butler. We talked about all of this over the past few days, but that stuff, that tinkering, that's all cute. The team has to respond. They have to respond when things go wrong. Things went wrong tonight, Greg. They responded and they got something from everybody. I'm looking at these lines. Kyle Lowry was tremendous. I called that on Before Floor. I'm just going to say that. Went over with him on Prize Picks. He's always great against Boston in his career, historically, okay? But I look at the other lines. Bam's line tonight, okay, where it didn't give you huge scoring but gave you everything else. Tyler Hero couldn't shoot tonight, but he gave you 10 rebounds and several assists off the bench. And Jimmy Butler hitting that mid-range tonight, okay? Yes, he took three threes, but hitting that mid-range, they got something from everybody tonight, Greg. But the biggest thing they got was they got back on their feet when it looked like they were going to fall backwards for the rest of the game.
Damn, that feels good to say. I'll say that this is my favorite win of the season because of where my headspace was related to this team. It wasn't all good just a week ago. And to see them go into Boston, tough place to play. Like, listen, these are some indicators. They didn't out rebound Boston. Boston, I think they're 35-10 when they out rebound their opponents this season. They didn't shoot 40% from three, which is generally like, if you're going to get out rebounded, you better shoot that 38%, 48% from the field. I felt like it was more about watching them get smacked in the mouth and then go on a run. It was a game of runs. And I thought it was interesting to see him, Spoelstra, stick with Max Strus. I don't know that that's actually going to be how it ends up in every closing lineup. I really think it'll be matchup dependent, but it's interesting to see who Spoelstra trusts in what probably is the highest stakes game. We can say whatever about if it's our biggest game, whatever, like, but it is likely the most high stakes game that they've played to date.
Let's get into the decision. We're going to work backwards here. Okay. Cause I want to get into some of the runs and other things that happened and why those things happened, the turnovers, Lowry's moments tonight. Let's just start from the back end of the game and go that way. Alex and Brady, the decision to close with Jimmy at the four and Strus essentially, I mean, I guess at the three with Hero at the two, you guys can, either of you can jump on this. Did you like the decision at the time? And do you think this is sustainable, or is it more like what Greg's saying? This is kind of a, you know, we'll see thing.
Yeah, I'll say, I think the biggest thing for me is that we talk so much about stagnant offense and their late game offense. Like, everything always never looked like it had a purpose. There was never any space to operate for your best players. And what they did more than anything to me is they found something that works. They put Hero and Strus in each corner. They put Jimmy either in the dunker spot, but most importantly, they put him on like that deep wing. So like, he could kind of run up. If anything, they could kick it to him. He has a running start, try to get to the basket. But the whole point of it is that those two corner shooters are pulling away from the lane. You see Kyle and Bam spamming a pick and roll at the top of the key. Kyle has it rolling all night. He has that pull-up ability. That's kind of what saved them in the third quarter. And he kept hitting Bam on that roll. He got to the basket. He was getting to the line. If a defender is, you know, that worried about it that they start pulling down, you have Max Strus and Tyler Hero waiting in the corner to take that three. So it's like, we've been talking so much about late game offense and just them needing options. Like, I felt like they haven't had an option at these points in the game. And I think they figured one of these things out. Not that they could just go to that at any game, because they're going to, teams in a playoff series are going to figure that out. They're going to have backup options. But I think the key here, and you hit on it, is the Jimmy at the four. I think there's certain teams you can do it against. As we said before the game, this is one of those teams you just can, because they're a little bit smaller. They probably would have had Robert Williams out there if he was playing, so it may not have been able to. But in this game, you can. And it just feels like that might have been the key to it all working offensively. Like, you have to pick at this point. Like, you're a team that has to choose defense or offense late in the game. And I think at this point, you can have, there's more of a chance of you surviving defensively probably than offensively, because Max Strus goes late in the game and has three crazy defensive possessions after getting picked on basically the entire game. When you're talking about in previous games, PJ Tucker, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo offensively, you can have good defensive possessions, but you just can't overcome that. That doesn't mean that PJ Tucker won't be closing games. I think there's points where he should be, but I think spacing right now at this moment in time is the priority, and just seeing them be able to figure that out, not against the Kings team in the second quarter, but figure it out late in the fourth quarter, gets probably the best defense in the league in their building. I feel like it's just important stuff. And it's just Kyle Lowry. I know we're going to talk more about him in that third quarter, but he needs to have the ball in his hands. And we said this before, and we talked about, you know, is it Tyler? Is it Jimmy? It's Kyle Lowry. He needs to have the ball in his hands. He makes the best decisions. And specifically, if he's knocking down that three ball, it just kind of changes everything for their offense.
Well, Alex, you know, we talk about who has the ball at the end, and we make such a big deal about that. I think we've all kind of said that Kyle should have it more often. And he did tonight. Some of it was the pick and roll with Bam playing off of that. But Jimmy, you know, I want to give some credit to Jimmy, too. I mean, Jimmy contributed at the end of this game, but not the way that he's been forcing his contribution over the past couple of months.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And everything Brady said there was absolutely on point regarding the lineups and all of that. Like, I thought the spacing in the fourth quarter looked a lot better. And it's funny because I was talking about something like this happening before the Kings game. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to keep sticking with the crunch time. The crunch time lineups just kind of, you know, seven minutes in a row of Tyler out there with your big three and PJ. And that was obviously the change tonight. So I just think that was huge. And I'm just saying that because it absolutely has to do with Jimmy. Like, I just think it makes things easier by, you know, just an exponential level when you don't have PJ out there. And look, I love everything PJ does, but Jimmy and Bam, like, I just think over and over again, teams have shown that they're going to send that extra guy into the paint and they're going to make you pass it out, whether it's to PJ or somebody else. And there's a couple of times where the Heat will pass up that open corner three to PJ because they're like, that's not the result that they want every time that it's there. And so I think they've kind of made that compromise where it's like, okay, we might have to sacrifice a bit of our defense. We're going to throw in an extra shooter there. Tonight it was Max. He was obviously the one having the better game between him and Duncan. And I love what I saw. Like, I thought throughout the game, Max was the one who stood out on defense in a bad way. And then he had three huge defensive plays down the stretch. And by the way, the whole, like, not having Robert Williams thing, like Brady said, it's just huge for a potential Heat Celtics matchup. Cause I don't think Grant Williams, you know, for as decent of a solid rotation player as he is, just doesn't affect the game the same way that Robert Williams does with his athleticism on both ends for the Celtics. So,
well, and we probably would
I feel better about this matchup overall after having watched this tonight.
We probably would see Robert Williams against the Heat, I would think, maybe, yeah, based on the later timeline. On in the
playoffs.
Yeah. By the time that you would get there, likely in the second round. So that might look a little different, but also by the time he comes back, he might be rusty coming off injury. You just don't know. Like, I mean, you know, it's obviously not ideal for Boston. I want to get into specific players when we come back. You know, I just wanted to start with the closing stuff because we said before the game, that's probably what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about it in a good way. This thing absolutely could have gotten away at the end of the game. But I just want to be clear on this. I've said this many times throughout the season. You can close games on defense. You can close games on defense. And I think what Brady's getting at is you don't necessarily need to have your five best defenders out there to close games on defense. They have enough good defenders out there as well. Before we do that, we do want to get to some sponsors here on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Mention this one all the time. Our official fantasy sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network is PrizePicks.com. Make sure you're using that code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. You don't have to play it all at once. You don't have to play just NBA either. You can play all the other sports that are available. NCAA Final Four is already up there. You can check out those props. You can do futures props on NFL and much more. Go to PrizePicks.com, but make sure you're using the code 5, F-I-V-E. You get your initial deposit matched, again, up to $100, and you don't need to play it all at once. You can also just download the app if you prefer that. So go to prizepicks.com. It's easy. You get your money without a whole big problem. You can win a lot. We've seen people in our network do that. And if I had actually played it tonight, I didn't have time to get to the app, I would have gone 5 for 5 on this game. Between Lowry going over on points and Bam going over on free throw attempts, and Al Horford going over on something I had him on. So play prizepicks.com. If an idiot like me can figure it out, you can too. Use the code 5. All right, let's get to some individual players tonight. Real season. Kyle Lowry said that. You know, I've talked about frustrations with him not creating, you know, or at least finishing in the paint or playing to finish in the paint. When you're shooting 50% from three, which is what he's doing lately, it may not matter. But to me, the biggest thing I took out of Lowry today, and I'll go to Alex on this first, is that there is another level that he's talked about that he has gotten to in the postseason before. Once he kind of turned the corner as a postseason player around 2017, 18-ish, or maybe even a little later than that, maybe a Toronto's championship run. But you can see it. Like, he knows he can get there. And I just, there was a confidence and a patience about his play, even with some of the turnovers tonight, but that he would kind of carry them forward a little bit tonight, Alex.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think Kyle, you know, it's kind of frustrating as somebody who's watched the Heat all season and him pass up all these shots. It feels like he saved it all for the end of the season, right? Like, he is not passing up those looks anymore. It's a complete switch from what we've seen. So it's hard not to believe him when it comes to the real season stuff. They're obviously not in the playoffs yet, but, you know, we're getting there. And he's been taking those shots for the past week. Like, even when they were losing, those shots were still going up. And I thought tonight it was absolutely huge and vital. You know, he played a great game. He's obviously not going to hit six threes every time, but the fact that he's willing to take it so often, and, you know, the guy is good at taking deep threes. He has a pretty quick trigger. They're good at setting him up. Like, a lot of their actions are run for shooters, and they're kind of running some of the similar stuff for Kyle there. And he was getting it out of the pick and roll too. I love it because you need that drop killer aspect. Like we've always talked about with Kyle, and he's showing you that. And you mentioned before the break how you can close a game with defense. The Heat, like we said, closed this game with an extra shooter and no PJ on the floor. What if I told you that they outscored the Celtics 27-15 in the fourth quarter? I mean, the Celtics did not score. I mean, I think that their lowest scoring quarter other than that was 23 or 24. So it's like they just turned it up on both ends of the floor. And I thought Kyle was a huge part of that because it kept Jimmy from having to do so much offensively. And he was just doing a good job fitting in. So Kyle stepping up, I think, is a huge for their playoff prospects.
All right, let's go to another guy, Brady Bam. Everybody focuses on the scoring, you know, being a primary option there. He did some things in the pick and roll. There were other times he was frustrating because he wasn't looking at the basket again. But defensively, he had some non-stat sheet stuff at the end of the game where basically just trailing guys, staying with guys, getting them out of their rhythm a little bit. I mean, we talk about this. They held Boston under 100. That's significant no matter what the pace. And considering, again, that Boston had two huge runs in the game and was pushing pace out of the Heat's control during certain pockets, but it did seem like just they weren't – Bam wasn't going to allow them to operate.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. And it's funny to start off on the broadcast, they brought up Defensive Player of the Year, and they mentioned Marcus Smart and Robert Williams and didn't really throw Bam in there at all, didn't even bring up his name. And I'm watching this game, and I'm like, forget Defensive Player of the Year for now. Like, this, he's the key to it all for Eric Spoelstra defensively in the playoffs. Like, for this team to be unlocked, he's the one piece that he can kind of move around defensively in different ways. The reason I say that is usually against these different teams, they do the PJ Bam thing where they just kind of switch it and it's the same thing over and over, and they get it inside to the other guy. It kind of just spirals from there. They basically treated him like Giannis in a lot of ways, where they made him the weak side guy. They made him the help side guy. And he kind of dominated on that role through the entire game. Like, this wasn't just a fourth quarter thing. I was talking about this on Twitter in the first quarter because he was just able to, he's really good just knowing where to be in the right spots on the weak side, that he's not just one of these guys that you can just lock up your best player on the perimeter. So that was just something that really stood out. I think he really took over this game defensively. I think offensively, seeing him become, you mentioned the rolling, like, that is the biggest thing to me. Like, watching him become a comfortable roller in a way that you can run offense, that you don't say he's still not comfortable at this stage where you give him the ball and go out of Daniel Tice. Like, it just is what it is. You're not going to do that and feel comfortable about your offense. The way you feel comfortable about your offense is running things through Kyle Lowry, putting Tyler in for Jimmy at the 6 minute mark. And immediately in two straight games, Tyler feeds him because two fly to Tyler and he gets a wide open lane. Spacing is a big thing for a lot of your shooters, but it benefits Bam probably more than anybody on the floor. Like, Jimmy moving to the four isn't a Jimmy thing. It's a Bam thing for me. Like, it just, everything kind of shifts in his role overall. And I think we always kind of mention Duncan as a way that he kind of opens up Bam. But I think the reason we say that is because there was just such a large sample size that Duncan and Bam run so many actions together that eventually it gets him open because two fly to that shooter. What we're seeing now is Kyle and Tyler are right there with Duncan in that way, that the more they run actions together, the more he's going to get open looks in space. I think the Tyler thing I just mentioned, but late game that we mentioned even before that, was the Kyle feeding him inside. That in that third quarter, Kyle hit two straight threes to begin the third. The next thing he did from there, two flew up to him and he zipped it inside to Bam, and he had that nice little floater inside, which was kind of like a thing to kind of spark some type of run offensively, that he just has to be the bridge, like, for a lot of they do offensively. And I think he was that tonight.
All right, we're going to get to Jimmy and Tyler here as we go forward. Before we do, I want to tell you about another sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friend Eric Rubenstein. You can find him on Instagram at Ask About Me, I Got You. He's the world traveling personal injury attorney, but he's also a damn good personal injury attorney. Okay, so if you need one of those, car accidents, slip and falls, medical malpractice, you just want somebody you can talk Miami Heat basketball with as well. We find him at the games all the time. Reach out to Eric at 954-829-ERIC. It's 954-829-ERIC. Again, Eric Rubenstein grew up down here in South Florida. He graduated magna cum laude from St. Thomas University. So he's local. He'll work with you on all of your issues when it comes to, again, a car accident, slip and fall, medical malpractice, and he'll make sure to get you your money, which is ultimately what it's all about. So reach out to Eric, 954-829-ERIC. Ask about me, I got you on Instagram. And he's the official sponsor here of Brady Hawk's appearances on Five on the Floor. Greg, Jimmy Butler, you just posted the stats here. 4 of 7, 9 points in the fourth. Wasn't forcing the three in the fourth, thank God. He did take three. He didn't go over his prize pick of 0.5 threes made tonight. I'm glad I didn't play that one. He's intent on taking some of those, but the mid-range stuff, but also the runouts on the break. That's another thing lately, him getting some easy ones in that kind of situation. Also, you know, I felt like his drives to the basket, he was aggressive, but a little more judicious tonight. I thought that was better as well.
Yeah. I mean, 8 free throw attempts, only 2 turnovers. So you see that there's not a ton of bad decision-making. And also, as I was, you know, perusing the box score here, I see Jaylen Brown was 9 of 22. I'm interested, and we don't have this data in front of us, but with Jimmy at the 4, how much he ended up matching up with Jaylen Brown and just how that exactly played out and how much he had to do with 9 of 22. So I'm interested in that particularly. Jason Tatum only had 2 points in the fourth quarter. So, you know, like essentially, I think this was a game where, to me, I've been wanting to watch Jimmy's energy level, his level of engagement, his decision making, and all of those things seem completely healed. And so, like, if I was going to say a word to walk away from this game as it relates to Jimmy Butler and this team in general, after the moves that Spoelstra's made and et cetera, it's like they appear to be healed. Now we'll see as they go to Chicago.
He let go of the reins a little bit tonight. I don't know if that's sustainable, but we've talked about the open conversations that he's had with Eric, that Eric's had with others. And it does feel to a certain degree that what's happened here, just to expand on, you know, some of the reporting I did the other day, is that when you give guys something that they ask for, they're more open to giving you what you ask for. And that feels a little bit like what's happened here. The players wanted a change. They wanted to create different kinds of rotations, staggering so that they could create better spacing. Spoelstra has provided that for them. Again, we'll see if it's sustainable. In the playoffs, you're probably going to need to change it a couple more times. Okay. Gabe Vincent tonight didn't give you much offensively. Okay. You know, I think it was 0-for-1 from the field, 13 minutes. Oladipo, I've said, probably not going to be a rotation factor here this season or in the postseason. But they gave Jimmy, Alex, some of what he's wanted. And it seems like Jimmy, at least in the past couple games, particularly tonight, because it was closer, gave a little bit more of what I think all fans have been asking for, which is just take a slight step back so that everybody can move forward.
So it's funny that you say that, because I was just looking through the stats tonight and going quarter by quarter, going through, you know, what type of shot profile both teams shot. And despite all of this stuff going on with Jimmy and, you know, us wanting him out of the way a little bit in the four quarters, he still took 7 field goal attempts, got to the free throw line a couple of times, finished 4 of 7 in the fourth quarter with 9 points. So I just think, you know, things have been made easier for him, right? And even against this team who, again, even without Robert Williams, still has a bunch of good defenders out there, had 5 great defenders out there to close the game, Jimmy was still able to make stuff happen. And something else that I found interesting regarding the shot profile tonight, he'd only got 11 shot attempts at the rim compared to the Celtics 28. And I know Jimmy and Bam did a great job getting to the line, but that gap wasn't huge. So I thought that was weird. But then it kind of, the compromise comes in the mid-range, where he took 14 more shots from the mid-range than the Celtics, went 17 of 34, which is awesome. So I just thought that's kind of an interesting adjustment, where it's like they're willing to take the shots that are being given to them. Like, a lot of, you saw Jimmy kind of dabbling back in the mid-range when the shot was there for him. You saw, obviously, like we talked about before, with Kyle just taking whatever jump shot was there. And so, you know, I think tonight we saw a really balanced effort, not only defensively to be able to respond when the Celtics went on that run, but then offensively, where everybody chipped in, and you didn't need for somebody to go crazy, but everybody did a little bit of everything, and it actually seemed pretty balanced.
I want to close here. Do want to mention our product code 5RSN. That's with therapistpreferred.com. 25% off for premium CBD, the sports cream, the gummies, the tincture. 10% off at getsalis.com, getsalis.com. 10% off there for endurance athletes. Basically replace your electrolytes in a healthy way. Anybody who sweats, whether you swim, play tennis, run, bike, ski, whatever, check out getsalis.com. And again, therapistpreferred.com. Use our product code 5RSN. I think again, as we've gone through all of the key guys, we haven't really gotten to Tyler a lot. It didn't have a big shooting night tonight, but I thought did some decent things on offense. I think what we see again, when they can get enough from enough guys and they're connected enough and they're resilient, this team can beat anybody. When they were fractured a week ago, they could lose to anybody. That's kind of where we're at right now. But before we close, real quick here, because they've got two more games on this trip. I'm actually going to be at the game in Chicago. Then they go to Toronto. At this stage, I'll just throw it out there to you guys. Quick answers here. Do you expect the Miami Heat to finish this season with the number one seed? Greg?
Yes.
Brady?
Yeah, I do as well.
Alex?
Me too. I feel pretty good about the remaining schedule. I think they lose one more with the Raptors.
I think the only team that could change the equation here is Milwaukee. And again, there is a tiebreak situation that Milwaukee would get a tiebreak if there's a tie with Philly and Miami. Milwaukee has most of the tiebreak advantages, just based on some of what I've seen here, because of just the way that this thing works out. To me, that's the one. You don't have the tiebreaker over Boston. But I also think if you look at the Celtics, they have made such a run here, and I think it's going to be hard to sustain it in the last week and a half. To me, this was the game for them to secure the number one seed. They didn't. They still got to figure out how to play without Robert Williams. We've seen that they're willing to rest Jalen and Jason Tatum. I think they may do that again here as we go forward. So to me, it's going to end up being between Miami and Milwaukee for that number one seed. If I wasn't going to be in the building in Chicago, I might pick the Heat, but because, you know, I'm a jinx, we'll see how that goes. All right. Thanks everybody for joining. Thanks to our sponsors, prizepicks.com. Use code 5, therapistpreferred.com, getsalis.com. Use code 5RSN. Eric Rubenstein, 954-829-ERIC for personal injury attorney of the first order. And also youbreakwheelfix.com. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.